Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is October the 2nd, 2016, or it is Bull 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled The Lily of the Valley. Okay, we're going to sing now a song entitled The Lily of the Valley. I have found a friend in Yahshua. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to grow. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he all my griefs had taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempts me sore, through Yahshua I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. And sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, the rivers of delight shall ever roll. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The dead and the living make up the whole house of Israel. Gog fails. This is Time of Greetings, Volume 2, Number 4, Viti Hotov, Text of Address, August 30, 1947. Let us bring us up to date here. We look like about, my goodness, 60 years ago or longer. 53, I look like nearly 70 years ago here, 69 years ago. Our subject today is found in Ezekiel chapter 37 to 39. We've had this before, but it's come to our attention again. We're going to have a memory verse here, taken from Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, it says in Matthew 4:17, from that time Yahshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's Matthew 8:11. That was Matthew 7:21 I just read. Matthew 8:11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And it goes on to say, let's read it. But the children, verse 12, of the kingdom shall be cast out in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you see, the kingdom of heaven is going to be set up right here on this earth in probationary time. Now, I just heard a Sunday keeping preacher this morning, a Baptist, say that, well, you know, those of you that know the Bible, and he reads from the King James Bible, he says, Revelation 4 tells us about a throne set in heaven. And he says, but you know what? Thanks be to Yahweh, we're going to be raptured out of this world before that takes place. We're going to be in heaven looking on. That's what they're all teaching. They always teach once saved, always saved. He said, told the congregation he was saved when he was 12 years old. He said he's now 64 years old. He's been saved now for 52 years. Okay? So, but it says in Matthew 8:11, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay. That's our memory verses for today. We're going to go now to our subject, that the dead and the living make up the whole house of Israel. Our subject today is found in Ezekiel chapter 37-39. These chapters are long, and time will not permit us to read every verse, nor even to comment much on them. And so we shall not try to cover all the verses in chapters 38 and 39, nor say all that can be said. The verses we omit, however, really need no comment. For with this light at hand, as you study the chapters at your own leisure, the truth of them will stand out brightly. Ezekiel 37:1-12. The hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahweh Elohim, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man. And say unto the wind, this saith Yahweh Elohim, come from the four winds of old breath and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prepared as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great honor. And he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Here we see how the dead are to be raised. First, the bones are gathered together, bone to bone. Next, the flesh is added, then covered with skin, and finally, breath is given them. In the Genesis, we are told that Adam's body was made from clay. Then breath was put into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. By combining air with the clay, the man became a living soul. So the scriptures reveal that the resurrection is but a recreation. Man receives a new body out of the old, but in order to be the same man that once lived and died and made alive again, he necessarily is given the former intellectual knowledge and memory of his life's experience. Truly, the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, all the while they are in their graves. Ecclesiastes 9, 5, and 6. Ezekiel 37, 13, and 14. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Yahweh, have spoken it, and performed it, saith Yahweh. Not only will he raise his people from their graves, but he will also bring them into the land of Israel. The dead to live again is indeed a miracle, but not much greater than for a worm to bury itself in the ground, or to enclose itself in a cocoon, or the like, than to go in the state of the unconsciousness, change its form, and become a beautiful butterfly cruising through the air, instead of crawling on the ground. This and other wonders do not seem miracles, because they are common daily occurrences. If in the beginning Elohim could create the earth out of nothing, he can recreate man much easier when to start with he at least has man's bones and his intellectual knowledge of good and evil. Ezekiel 37:15-19. The word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah the two tribe kingdom, and for children of Israel his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph the stick of Ephraim the ten tribe kingdom, and for all the house of Israel his companion. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not know or show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribe of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. Here we are plainly told that the two ancient kingdoms, the types he is to restore and join and to bring out the antitype. Ezekiel 37:20-21. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will give them on every side and bring them into their own land. The faithful from among the descendants of Israel that were scattered throughout the nations will, we are concretely told, be gathered and brought back into their own land. These descendants of the tribes of Jacob, we must not, however, construe to be the unbelieving Jews of today, who are trying to gain possession of the Palestine. For the kingdom here predicted you know, is to be made up only of converts to Yeshua, mostly from the tribes who were scattered and lost sight of among the Gentile nations, including the descendants of those who made up the early Christian church, of those who no longer call themselves Jews but Christians. These, besides those of the Gentile nations who joined Yeshua, are obviously to make up this premillennial kingdom in the Promised Land. Ezekiel 37:22, "And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." This consolation, you know, is permanent, and since there are no sinners in it, it obviously, as shown elsewhere in our literature, is a result of the judgment in the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17. The judgment for the living, the purification of the church, the separation of the bad fish from the good, Matthew 13:47-48. The cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14. The harvest of the first fruits, 144,000, that stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, Revelation 14:1. The remnant. Then follows the end gathering of the second fruits. Your knowledge of these things, though, will not benefit you if you do not make a desperate effort to be one or have or one with the 144,000. You, moreover, must have this extra oil in your vessel, Matthew 25:1-12. Now, while it is so freely dispensed, to get it later will not profit you, for the late comers will find the door closed. Their knocking on the door will only cause them to hear the Master say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Matthew 7:23, "Indeed, you must immediately avail yourselves of this light-giving oil, now while it is brought to your doors, if it is to do you any good." Ezekiel 37:23, "Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgression. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim." After the subjects of the kingdoms of Judah and Israel are gathered from among the heathen nations, and they themselves become a nation and a kingdom, then they are to be cleansed, and not before, say the Scriptures. From these you see that this is the work of the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14. The purification of the church, Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80. The cleansing of the temple, Malachi 3:1-3. The harvest, time, blotting out the sins and defects of the penitent and doing away with the impenitent. It is the judgment for the living that purifies the church. It sets her apart from the world and fits her for the gathering of the people, Revelation 18:4. Makes her the ark for today, a place of refuge for all who wish to escape the plagues. Therefore the saints remain clean. They sin no more. They are Elohim's clean and faithful people. Forevermore there has never, therefore, come to Elohim's people a more important message than this. Ezekiel 37:24-28. "And David my servant shall be king over them. They shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also will be with them. Yea, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people,
And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, and my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Plainly then, all these things take place in the sight of the heathen, that they may see and know what Elohim has done for his people. Thus will they know that he has loved them, Ezekiel 38:1-2. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Gog is here said to be the chief prince, the king of Meshach and Tubal. These two cities, Meshach and Tubal, were anciently situated in Asia, south of the Black Sea, where the Turkish Empire now is. Ezekiel 38:8. After many days I shall be visited, in the latter years I shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. The many days after which Gog is visited are the 1,000 years, the latter days in which Israel return to their land, and the time in which Gog shall go against them are premillennial. Ezekiel 38:9. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. The expression to ascend and come like a storm suggests that these things are to take place in the time of the airplane. Ezekiel 38:10-12. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thine mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling within, without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a prey, and to take a spoil, and to take a prey. To turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nation, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. As the land of Israel shall have no visible human protection whatsoever, it will appear to Gog that he should have no difficulty robbing the people of the land. Ezekiel 38:13. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? These neighboring countries and people that ask Yahweh to tell them his mission evidently are not allied with him. Ezekiel 38:14-17. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it, and thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, and all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in the old God before their eyes. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring you against them? Clearly this kingdom of Israel is set up in the latter days, in the days before the millennium. For after the kingdom is set up, Gog opens war against it. Indeed, this cannot be after the millennium, for then all the nations from the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog with them, shall encompass not the mountains of Israel, but the new Jerusalem. Furthermore, at that time the slain shall not be burned to ashes. Revelation 20:9-10, Malachi 4:1. Ezekiel 38:23. This will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. And they shall know that I am the Yahweh, Ezekiel 39:1-7. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come from the north part, and will bring thee up on the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith Yahweh Elohim. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Yahweh. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, the Holy One in Israel. God, you see, shall fail to rob Elohim's people. He will instead perish in the mountains of Israel. Ezekiel 39:8-15. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith Yahweh Elohim. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall sit on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the handstays, and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest. For they shall burn their weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith Yahweh Elohim. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamon Gog, and 7 months shall the house of Israel be burned of them, and that they may cleanse the land, yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith Yahweh Elohim. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land, to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search, and the passengers that pass through the land, and when any seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. All these verses need no comment. We pass on to Ezekiel 39:22-29. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Yahweh, their Elohim, from that day and forward, and the heathen, and the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according unto their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name, after that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and gave them out of their enemies' land, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Yahweh the Elohim, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there, neither will I hide my face any more from them. For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith Yahweh Elohim. I do not know of any chapters in the Bible that are more explicit than these chapters of Ezekiel. They need no interpretation whatsoever. But in spite of it, the denomination ignores them as though they were not in the Bible. And even now, rather than teaching the soon fulfillment of these chapters, the setting up of the kingdom, the ministers are doing all they can to confuse the laity and to enshroud the scriptures in the mystery, so there is evidence upon evidence that the angel of the church of the Laodiceans is blind and yet know it not. Now this is narrowed right on down to 2002, because this angel of the church of Laodicea became identified for the first time in 2002 at Kermit, Texas at Gilead Center, Brother W. Johnson. First time that the angel of Laodicea, a living minister, prophet, with the office of inspiration, identified as the angel of the seventh candlestick, let us say, and he was purged out, 2002. He was spewed out of his mouth. So that's when this prophecy met its fulfillment. Now at this crossroad, the eternal destiny of all of Elohim's servants is to be settled. Now they must take either the step that Paul was forced to take on the way to Damascus, or the step that Judas took in the upper room after the master washed his feet. This is, you see, not man's talk. It is Yahweh, the Bible. You are now given the opportunity to be a Daniel, a Job, a Stephen, a Luther, a Miller, or a what? I hope that none of you choose to be a scribe or a Pharisee. They were geniuses to find fault, but too stupid to see the truth. Such, you know, have never led anyone into the truth, but have ever kept even whole nations away from it. They are geniuses at their wicked profession. Okay, that brings us to the end of our chapter, Count of Greetings, Volume 2, Number 4. We'll just go right on into our next study. Volume 2, Number 5, a text of address by the V.T. Harlef, September 6, 1947. Okay, so now it says, a feast that rolls away the veil, opens the gates, and causes death to flee away. Sounds like good news, doesn't it? All right, it says, the text of our study this afternoon is found in Isaiah 25 and 26. In order properly to orientate ourselves to the subject matter, we shall begin with the sixth verse of chapter 25. Afterwards, we shall study the first five verses. That's 25 verse 6 now. And in this mountain shall the Yeshua of the host, just talking about the Son, make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees of fat things, full of marrow, and wines on the lees well refined. First of all, we should find the truth of this figurative mountain. For this information, we must go to the last verse of the 24th chapter, before the story of the 25th chapter begins with the previous chapter. We shall read these verses connectively. Isaiah 24, 23, 25, and 6. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Yeshua of the host shall reign in Mount Zion in the 12th hour at the Liberty Hill, Texas, and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. And in this mountain, Mount Zion, shall the Yeshua of the host make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. Here you see that Mount Zion is a mountain on which the Yahweh will prepare a feast for all people, a feast of tempting things. Here will the people gather together, Isaiah 25:7, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. when the covering under which the nations now stand blows away, then shall they find themselves in the open, vulnerable to wind and storm. Yes, when the veil which now hangs over all peoples of the earth is pulled down, then shall they see that which they can not now see, and what then? Isaiah 25:8-10. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Yahweh Elohim will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of the Yahweh shall be taken away from off the earth, for the Yahweh has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our Elohim, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yahweh, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of Yahweh rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. To make these great events possible, not only the ones who at that time ruled the land, but Moab too, we see, shall be trodden down. And who could Moab be if not the Arabs, who now lay heavy claim to the land of Palestine? Soon the world will find that Elohim has not forsaken the earth, that Elohim is the master of the situation. Isaiah 25:11-12. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hand, and the fortress of the high fort of thy wall shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground even to the dust. These verses hold the fact before us that it matters not what kind of fortification men may devise. Such shall nevertheless be brought down as a straw when the Yahweh manifests his power. Having now clearly seen this wonderful Bible truth, let it be you to say, Isaiah 25:1, O Yahweh, thou art my Elohim, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Here we are shown that as a result of this revealed truth, some will truly accept the Yahweh of the Bible as their Elohim and will pledge to exalt him and ever to praise his wonderful name, because they see that he has done wonderful things. His counsels of old shall they not turn down, because they will know from experience that his counsels are faithfulness and truth. They will from the personal experience know Elohim's power and save. Isaiah 25:2-3. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. The city of this verse must be the one first mentioned in Isaiah 24. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. And this city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten, and destruction, and thus shall be in the midst of the land among the people. It shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. Those who are not shaken down shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Yahweh. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify you the Yahweh in the forest, even the name of the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. As a result, there shall be converts from the four corners of the earth. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth, Isaiah 24:10-17. The following quotation of the Spirit of Prophecy adds light unto these verses. I saw jets of light shining from cities and villages and from the high places and the low places of the earth. Elohim's word was obeyed, and as a result, there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 28 and 29. Isaiah 26:1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. The salvation will the Yahweh appoint for walls and bulwarks. The song for the majesty of the Yahweh is therefore to be sung in the promised land, and there will the saints have a city that cannot be shaken down, for it is to have salvation for walls. Then it shall be said, Isaiah 26:2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. And what is truth? Psalms 119:142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. And what does it say there in Jeremiah 33 about verse 7? Let's go read it. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to rest, and will build them as at the first. Verse 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And what is truth? Let's read again. Psalms 119:142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Okay. Now let's go back to where we left off here. We're on page 8 of Timely Greetings, Volume 2, Number 5. It says, Isaiah 26:2. Let's read that again. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth, that is, keepeth my law, 100%, the whole law, W-H-O-L-A, James 2:10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. And that whole law includes the seventh-day Sabbath, which is recorded in Scriptures, to be kept as holy days when they come around, the seventh-day Sabbath. And all the additional holy days mentioned there in Leviticus 23, they're still binding today. The new moons, the Pentecost, the Passover, the Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Solemn Assemblies, all of those are holy days that come in one calendar year, every year. And that is for this generation which we're in now to be kept. Okay, here is taught that all this takes place in a day of the salvation, in a day that the gates can be opened for a righteous nation to enter in. Yes, a whole nation of such as should be saved, not a sinner among them, shall then respond to the call, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, and that she receive not of her plagues. Isaiah 26:3-4. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Yahweh forever, for in the Yahweh Elohim is everlasting strength. Although throughout the years of history nations have developed great power, yet not one has retained that power forever. But we are here reassured that those who trust in Yahweh Elohim shall have eternal peace and everlasting strength. Isaiah 26:5-10. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost way the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Yahweh, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is unto thy name, and unto the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, Yea, with my spirit within me I will seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed unto the wicked. He will not learn righteousness in the land of uprightness. Will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Yahweh. These verses plainly tell us that when the judgments of the Yahweh fall upon the earth, the righteous-minded will learn righteousness, but the unrepentant sinners will not learn righteousness, regardless of what is done for them. And this is why they are to be barred from the congregation of the righteous. The righteous, however, even now feel the Yahweh's mighty hand, and painfully they declare, Isaiah 26:11, Yahweh, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy of the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Indeed, when Yahweh's hand is lifted up to deliver his people, the wicked will not see it. But after the righteous are delivered, the wicked will clearly see and envy. But it will shall be to their shame and too late to do them any good. Even now, while the latter rain is falling, the self-righteous, who imagine that they have need of nothing, are either running away from it or pulling their raincoats over their heads. The seekers of righteousness, though, come out in the open. Thus they learn to say, Isaiah 26:12, Yahweh, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. This can be said only unto those who allow the Yahweh to perform his work in their hearts, so that they may praise him. Isaiah 26:13-16, O Yahweh, or Elohim, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nations, O Yahweh, thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Yahweh, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. These verses declare that the Israel of the promises, not the unbelieving Jews, have increased in number since having been removed from their land. Since having been scattered to the ends of the earth, while this chastening, being driven away from their land, is still upon them, they pour out prayer and say, Isaiah 26:17-18, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain, and crieth out in her pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Yahweh. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Here is shown that the eyes of the penitent are to be opened. They are to see themselves as Elohim sees them, and confess that they have hitherto failed in their efforts, that they have travailed, have been in pain, but have brought forth only wind, as it were. While the impenitent think that they themselves are rich and increased with goods, are doing a great deed, and are in need of nothing. Yes, the church may now boast of her achievements, or her so-called large membership, but not long hence will she, too, discover that she has failed to finish her work, that the world is still destroying the earth, that her people are unsaved, and that rather than having brought forth salvation, she has brought forth nothing but wind. I heard a preacher this morning said a Sunday keeping preacher. Here on a Sunday, we just had a double Sabbath yesterday, the day before, on the seventh day Sabbath, and the new moon fell on the same day. We had a double portion of the Holy Spirit on that day. And here this man gets up and says, I was saved when I was 12 years old. I've been saved for 52 years. Okay. Once saved, always saved. Okay. And the mighty sifting soon to take place, we shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. The signs reveal that the time is near when Yahweh will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80. Isaiah 26:19. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise. Awaken, sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall be cast out the dead. Not only the living, but the dead also shall be gathered into the strong city. We always hear the Yahweh pleading with us, saying, Isaiah 26:20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. This plea shows that we are approaching the time of trouble and that Elohim is anxious to have us under cover. The wise will hear him and will accept the chambers, the protection he provides for them. Isaiah 26:21. For behold, the Yahweh cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. All these truths which Yahweh is now bringing unto our attention point to one thing, that the great and terrible day of the Yahweh is at hand, and he is soon to manifest his power and shake the earth so that everything that cannot be shaken may stand. Are you not glad, brother, sister, that Elohim is giving you first opportunity to get ready for the day of the Yahweh, to hold fast unto his ever-increasing truth? That ends our sermon now in volume 2, number 5. And it says here in volume 2, number 6, lewdness flees away at the children's protest, revival, and reformation. When? Ooh, wow. And that Sunday-keeping preacher, he was called into his church as a guest preacher this morning from several hundred miles away to hold a revival and reformation. But he's telling everybody that, he said, well, all of y'all out here know when the day y'all were saved, so really all I'm doing is just going to preach to you about being good stewards and faithful tithes and offering payers so the church can continue to function because it has to have money to function. And that's all I'm going to preach to you about, is being faithful stewards. You're already saved. All right. So it says, our subject is found in the first and second chapters of Hosea. We shall begin with Hosea 1:2. The beginning of the word of Yahweh by Hosea. And Yahweh said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredom, for the land hath committed great whoredoms departing from Yahweh. We immediately see that this wife and these children symbolize Elohim's people departing from him, and that such a wicked act he calls whoredom. Hosea 1:3-4. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And Yahweh said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. That was back then. Now, who was the house of Israel back then? That was your Pharisees, the Sadducees at the cross. That was in charge of the temple. It was in the charge of the house of Israel. Elohim's reason for thus naming Hosea's first visionary son was to signify that in a little while he was to avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, who was then the king of Israel, then declared to Yahweh. Hosea 1:5. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. To break the bow would mean to break the nation's military strength. The history of this is recorded in 2 Kings 10:11, Hosea 1:6. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and Yahweh said unto him, Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. This child's name was to denote the complete destruction of the house of Israel. So this is a prophecy for the destruction of the Seventh-day Adventist Church with Ezekiel 9. In the 12th hour that we're in now. This is a twofold prophecy. The 10 tribe kingdom, and the Adventists were represented by the 10 tribe kingdom. This destruction, we know, was accomplished by the king of Assyria, who scattered the people throughout the cities of the Medes. Okay. The history of this is found in 2 Kings 18:11. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Halah and in Haber by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. Hosea 1:7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Yahweh the Elohim, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now who is this house of Judah? This is the house of David. Okay, the lawgiver. Yahweh promised to spare the house of Judah, that's the house of David, which represents the everlasting kingdom from the of heaven here on earth, from the invasion of the king of Assyria. The history of this incident is recorded in 2 Kings 19:35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of Yahweh went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Hosea 1:8-9. Now, when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said Yahweh, Call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your Elohim. The name of the third child was to signify that though Israel and Judah were Elohim's chosen people, the day was fast approaching in which they would no longer be called his people. Well, that day is fast approaching the Antitype today, and the Adventist Church is no longer called Yahweh's people anymore. Ever since the angel of the candlestick was spewed out in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, that they are no longer called his people. The fulfillment of this phase of the prophecy brings us to the antitypical apostolic era, or the Christian, what they call the apostolic era in the, after the cross of the apostles. Hosea 1:10, Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, You are not my people, there shall be said unto them, You are the Sons of the living Elohim. This brings the third verse at this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on the audio archives to hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song. Who at my door standing?
Who at my door is standing? Patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, is this a voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Joshua, thou not weary, waiting so long for me. Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart, I hasten, thee will I hope and watch. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tongues have fallen, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.